Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Barbarians, a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me on this Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day to everyone. And I hope you're I hope while you are barbecuing, and I'm going to be enjoying the beach today. As you know, I'm on vacation in Florida and still doing the show, though. We're live and in person. But as we all celebrate and take a day off and rest and relax and join our friends and our family, I do hope that we all take a few moments to reflect upon the reason for this holiday. And I've asked Gene Greisman to join me today. And Gene is, as you know, is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's an old friend, and Gene is the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By, one of my favorite books in the world, and Time Tactics of Very Successful People. And Gene and I have been doing this show together for a long time, and he's our good friend. He's, by the way, folks, he's also one of the world's top Lincoln portrayers. And many times, Mr. Lincoln has joined us in the past. And so he's our good friend, as I say. Gene, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Listen, Jim, we've been on this so long that eventually you're just going to have to quit saying one of the top world's top portrayers. In fact, one of the things that I do in the Lincoln show, whenever Lincoln comes out, he said, you know, one of the benefits of being as old as I am is there's no peer pressure.
Well, yeah,
look, if I'm on your show long enough, I won't quit hearing about this peer pressure that I'm one of the best.
eventually. Well, I think that's something you've said before in the past. But you know, you remind me of the person who, the old person that I knew once who said every few months she has to rewrite the instructions for her funeral, that she has to keep changing the pallbearers because they keep pallbearers keep preceding her.
Well, that's not like the old man who told, you know, newspaper reporter came out, Mitchell man said, well, I don't have a single enemy in the world. Reporter said, well, would you tell me what your secret is? He said, I outlived all the bastards.
The things that, as you know, Memorial Day officially became official, I should say, in 1868, 3 years after the war was over, probably about 4 years after Mr. Lincoln died. But the truth is that it got started during the Civil War. Mm-hmm. because Southern women would go out and were seen decorating the graves of soldiers, and apparently they were decorating the graves of all soldiers, not just Southern soldiers. They were decorating graves of the North and the South, and they were seen doing that. And that gave rise to the concept of Memorial Day. Of course, as you know, Gene, in the South, that people have been recognizing a certain day of the year to, at least in the South, maybe in the North too, have been recognizing for way back into the 19th century, those who had died before, whether regardless of how they died, had taken a certain time of year to do that. And so the Civil War sort of just crystallized that into what became a date, didn't it?
Yes. Now, I'm older than you, and
only a little bit, Gene.
I spent in school in Marietta, Georgia, which is in sight of Kennesaw Mountain, where a great battle was fought. And I can tell you that growing up in Marietta, Georgia, there were two Memorial Days. There was Confederate Memorial Day, and then there was Memorial Day.
Hmm.
And I was in the high school band, and we marched out to the Confederate cemetery.
Huh.
And the Union cemetery was close by. I don't think we ever marched over there.
Well, maybe things had changed by that time.
What has changed is that at during World War One, World War Two, and the subsequent wars we fought, the combat casualties, the men who died and women who died, were buried in the Union Cemetery, and gradually that has become the place that people remember most.
Right, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Gene's books are The Words Lincoln Lived By, which is one of my favorite books in the world, and Time Tactics of Very Successful People. Gene, give us your website before we go to a break.
It is presidentlincoln.com, www.presidentlincoln.com.
And Gene has a number of outstanding resources there I encourage you to take a look at. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Gene what President Lincoln's thoughts were when he took this nation to war over 150 years ago. We'll do that right after these messages, or approximately 150 years ago, I guess I should say. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to thank you very much for joining me today on Memorial Day as we celebrate the lives of those men and women who paid the ultimate price for our freedoms so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms that we have. Gene Greisman is our guest, and he's one of the world's experts on Mr. Lincoln, on his thoughts, on his writings, on the things that he did. And Gene, I'd like to get you to reflect on what you know about what Mr. Lincoln was thinking when he contemplated a war, and it was more than just a war, Gene, as you know.
Yes.
It was a conflict that literally ripped this nation in half.
Absolutely.
That's more painful. Than going to war with another state that we have a disagreement with. This was brother against brother, wasn't it, many times?
Absolutely. In fact, by war's end, in a nation of about 30 plus million people, no more, certainly not 40 million, there were 970,000 casualties.
Mm.
That's wounded and killed on both
about
sides.
Those were killed.
One out of 35 people were wounded or killed in that war.
Mm-hmm.
That's astonishing.
Well, it is. And, Gene, that's not far off from the numbers that the plague of the 14th century, the 14th century, I guess it was, the plague caused in Europe. That's pretty close
indeed.
To those numbers.
But you'd ask what was on Lincoln's mind. Fortunately, we do know. From a private conversation that he had with his two secretaries, his closest secretaries, he reflected and he said, well, one of the, and there's several reasons for the war, there's never just one. He said, one, certainly to save the Union. Number two, he said, certainly slavery is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to deal with this. This terrible, terrible issue that's been dividing us since the nation began. But he said the ultimate test of this war is whether people's government, government of the people, a republic can survive. He, like John Adams, knew that every republic in the history of the world, one, had been small, and as John Adams put it, every republic eventually commits suicide. One part pulls away from the other, and it disintegrates.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lincoln said the test is whether we can form a government strong enough to be a people's government and yet survive what has happened to every other republic in the history of the world. And it was that question that was in the back of Lincoln's mind when he gave the Gettysburg Address, and there's not one in 10,000 that know what I'm now telling. He had received a letter from a supporter in Boston by the name of Forbes urging him to pick some public place where he would tell what the war was really about. And when the invitation to go down to Gettysburg came, Lincoln used that.
Mm.
And if you understand, that's at the back of his mind, that whether a republic can survive or when one group becomes disaffected and pulls away, it disintegrates. Then you understand what he said at the Gettysburg Address. He said, it begins, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. That's the question. And he ends it by saying that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And it was the whole Civil War, in his mind, was a struggle to see if people's government could survive.
And two things, Gene. Number one, at that point in time in the history of our nation, Lincoln was still calling this republic an experiment.
He was calling an experiment, and interestingly, in the first inaugural address, he never calls the United States a nation. He calls it the Union, because it was at that point still a confederacy. The Civil War was two confederacies at war.
Mm-hmm.
In the Gettysburg Address, he uses the word nation 5 times in 2 minutes, mm-hmm. that this nation shall have a new birth of freedom.
Now, he wrote...
So the significance of Lincoln is that before Lincoln, people referred to the United States in the plural. The United States are. After Lincoln, we begin to refer to the United States as singular. The United States is.
Yes.
That's the significance, really, of Lincoln, is that he reformed the Union. You see, the Articles of Confederation didn't work. It was too weak. And then... 1783, it was still too weak centrally, and Lincoln makes it, he centralizes the government even more. And so we have survived.
Gene, the other thing is, as you've taught us in the past, in all the years we've been together, you've never told us that story. That's a wonderful story about what gave rise to the Gettysburg Address. What was on his mind? What prompted him to write that? And apparently, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he write that just before he actually stood up to speak?
Well, that's one of the myths that's grown up. He actually started that 2 to 3 weeks before.
Right.
And like most great speakers, he was editing on the way to the cemetery.
That's what it was. But think about
it better.
I'm not mistaken. Like 269 words or something like that. It's an incredible statement. We come back, folks. President Lincoln is going to join us. That's right. Right here on the Small Business Advocate Show on Memorial Day. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and happy Memorial Day, ladies and gentlemen, as you celebrate this great holiday, as we memorialize the lives of those men and women out there, those men and women who pay the ultimate price for our freedoms that we enjoy. As I say, regardless of the conflict, regardless of the politics of any of the conflicts, America is a nation of people that are prepared to recognize that there are some things on this earth that are greater than ourselves, than us as individuals. And someone who knew that very well, who knows that very well, is President Abraham Lincoln. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm very happy to say that President Lincoln is here right now, and I'm very happy to introduce him to you. He's been with us before, and I'm glad to have him back with us now. President Lincoln, are you there?
I am here, and hello, Mr. Blasingame. I'm happy that you have me on the show today.
Well, it's good to have you back, Mr. President. You've been here before, and we always enjoy having you. And I'd like, as you know, it's Memorial Day, and I know this was something that wasn't actually official during the Civil War, but I'd like to get your thoughts on this day and on the whole concept of sacrifice and so I'll just let you give us your thoughts, President Lincoln.
Let me tell you an experience that happened to me at Antietam. As you probably know, being a student of history, I understand, more people died in one single day at Antietam than it's the bloodiest day in American history. More people died in one day than War of 1812, Revolutionary War, and all the Indian Wars combined. They asked me if I would go down and try to bring some support, encouragement to the troops, which I willingly accepted. And so I went to Antietam. And I can tell you, Mr. Blassingame, that you cannot imagine the horrors of a battlefield in the 1800s. In fact, you heard the battlefield before you saw it, because there was this long, steady moan of the wounded and the dying. When I got there, as far as the eye would see, the place was littered with bodies, and houses had been pressed into service as makeshift hospitals. And so I walked amongst the troops, saying a kind word to them as best I could. And finally came to a cot on which a soldier boy lay. I say a boy, couldn't have been more than 15 years of age. It was clear he was mortally wounded. He didn't have long to live. You could see that. His uniform was not blue. It was he was a Confederate. And I stopped beside his cot, extended my hand, said to him, young man, would you shake hands with me if you knew my name? He looked up at me. Who are you, sir? My name's Lincoln, I told him, President of the United States. There was a long pause. I didn't know what he would do. I knew the name Lincoln was reviled and despised by millions, hated. For all I knew, his last act might be one of defiance. He might spit in my face. I kept my hand extended. Boy somehow found the strength to raise himself up and look around the room and then back up at me. And then he said, sir, I reckon I don't see no enemies in this place. And he reached out his hand, took mine, squeezed it. There's a lesson for me in that moment, that the best way to destroy an enemy is to make a friend out of him. I suppose experiences like that impelled me to conclude the second inaugural address with the words, and you probably know them, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we're in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, for his widow, his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just, lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
Mr. President, thank you for that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking good care of our friend Gene Grisman. We have to end our visit right now, but on this Memorial Day, we think of you often, Mr. President, and we thank you for being here today. And we also thank, ladies and gentlemen, we're very grateful to Gene Grisman for being here. Don't forget his website, presidentlincoln.com. Today might be a good day to check that one out. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on Memorial Day right after the news. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.